mighty God, and I'm thankful that He's my God tonight. And in tent revival, a lot of times you see people come that, as Brother Andrew said, that we don't normally see in our church. And we've heard, all of us that were raised in church have heard all of our lives, there's homeless people out there, there's drug addicts, and there's people bound by sin. But being in City Reach in Wichita just opened my eyes. You can see the chains of sin, maybe not visibly. Some of them you can, but you can just see that they have chains on their life. But it's amazing when you see them come to the altar and see God's power break those chains and set them free. And I'm so thankful tonight that that is my God. And not only does He work for the sinner, but He works for the saint too. And I'm thankful tonight there's power in the name of Jesus. A mother barely 20 out there on her own, a teenage boy in prison before he's even grown, the illness of a loved one, the widow no one calls. There is one solution, an answer for it all.
There is power in the name of Jesus, and there is hope, there is strength, and to claim.
There is healing
in His holy presence.
And there's power
in His name. Oh, let's reach for it.
There is
power in the name of Jesus.
And
there is hope, there is strength, and victory to claim. Holy presence, there is power in His name.
We're a nation needing mercy,
fighting
for her life. We're a church that needs revival, a broken man and wife.
In the name of Jesus, all the chains
of bondage fall.
His prayers are heard and answered when God's children call.
There is
power in the name of Jesus. There is hope, there is strength, and victory to claim.
There is
healing in His holy presence.
Oh, yes.
There is power.
Power in His name.
Oh,
let's reach for Him. Oh, yes.
There is power.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
There is hope.
There is strength. And victory to claim.
There is
healing in His holy presence,
and
there is power in His name.
Oh, let's reach for help tonight in the name of Jesus. Please be seated tonight in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Brother Andrew. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for the offering tonight. If you don't mind, we're going to apply that to the expenses of City Reach right here in Dayton. And that'll be money well spent. There'll be things that'll have to be taken care of, and that's what we'll apply that for. Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter number 2. So good to have my mom and dad with us tonight. And so glad to have them in service with us. They came down to be in our second City Reach this year in Richland, Mississippi. Enjoyed a few nights of revival there with us, and we appreciated that so very much. I think they're going to come to about 8 or 10 of them next year, I believe. Well, maybe 1 or 2. Appreciate them coming tonight. So good to see Brother J.R. and Sister Teresa and to be home. Thanks for coming, Brother McGuire. We appreciate it, and bringing some of your folks. And Brother Lloyd did get a hold of me, and he wanted me to tell you that he is 100% behind having City Reach and Tent Revival, but just could not get here tonight. And so he wanted to make sure that y'all, that I knew that, and that you knew that. Mark chapter 2 and verse number 1. And again, he, Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many that were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Would you stretch your hands toward heaven and ask the Lord to touch us here in this part of the service? Father, I pray right now that you would captivate our hearts and minds here for a few moments. Drive out every hindering spirit, Lord, that wicked fowl of the air that would steal your word from us. Lord, bind him in Jesus' name. Lord, let faith rise up in us, Lord, to believe your word, to receive your word, and to respond to your word. In the name of Jesus, I ask it. And everybody can say, amen. 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 This man of the palsy was born of four. I want to talk to us here tonight from a question. Who is carrying the couch? Who is carrying the couch? It's already been said, and I mentioned it Sunday night. I am here tonight, and I really appreciate the opportunity to do this. We're going to be doing this in several cities where we're doing City Reach over the next year. We'll be doing this over the next couple of weeks. But I want to share my burden for City Reach. And City Reach is simply churches working together under the tent in a city to reach people for Christ. And we've been conducting tent revivals for several years. It started when I was pastoring in Wichita. We went and had an outdoor meeting in a little gazebo in a little suburb there in North Wichita. And I got one person to pray in that three-night meeting. And it was a little two-year-old baby that got away from her mother and come to the altar. I took whatever I could get. I got right down there and prayed with her. Praise God. But the first outdoor meetings I had ever conducted, but I saw the potential to reach people that I was not reaching inside the church. We bought a little 16 by 32 general purpose medium army tent. We began to have tent revivals there, first there in the churchyard at Wichita. And in fact, we had several revivals right there and saw several people saved and several people touched by the power of God. And I believe, then we moved on in years later to our outdoor meetings we had for several years there in Kentucky, up in the holler where my mother was raised. And then we used a 30 by 40 tent. And then we went to the 48 foot round tent. And then a 48 by 70 tent. And then this year, the 48 by 92 tent. And I believe that God has used those hundreds of nights of conducting those services outdoors all over this nation to bring our family right here for such a time as this. I believe this. I believe I'm as close to the will of God as I've ever been, Brother Benny, doing what I'm doing. And this City Reach is simply an extension or an expansion of those revivals into metropolitan areas across North America. We want to promote revival in our cities through the preaching of the gospel in the demonstration of spirit, God's spirit, and power. Our cities, our families must have revival. Our nation must have revival. And we know our nation is sick. I mean, look around. And we know what the cure is. The cure, Brother J.R., is Christ. The cure is not a different president. The cure is not a new Congress or a new Senate, and all those things might help, but none of those will cure what we are really sick of. We are sick of sin, and the cure is Christ. We know the gospel changes lives. We want to help local churches deliver that message right here in our city, just plain and simple. City Reach is not a camp meeting. It's not a church revival. It's not to compete with any of those things. It is local churches working together with us under the tent to bring the gospel that we all love, as Odie said, to people who possibly have never, ever heard it before. Wouldn't it be awesome to be a part of giving somebody the gospel and they've never heard it before? And to watch their face light up as the Spirit of God hides that message in their heart and they realize God is going to do something for them. I envision churches pulling together to do that right here. And I know that God will bless and sanctify those efforts. If we can work together, He's already proven to me in other places, He will bless that and multiply that. Odie mentioned our first City Reach was in Wichita, and we kind of used Wichita kind of as a guinea pig, since I had pastored there and I knew churches there, and we have a good rapport there with the churches and a good reputation there with the churches. And so four churches came together in that City Reach, and God saved, and God healed, and God delivered in an absolutely astounding way. I mentioned to you Sunday night, there were at least six people that responded immediately every night. As soon as I made the altar, at least six people responded every night to come and get saved. Other nights, there were many, many more than that. Not only at night, but during the day, people got saved. One morning, I was sitting under the tent. It was 6:20. I looked at my phone when I seen him pull up, and a man got out in scrubs. He's studying to be a nurse. He is working his very first third shift on his job. He'd been there for months, and they asked him to work third shift. While he was there that evening, when he went in for work, he talked to somebody that told him about Tent Revival. And he said, "I live right down there. I thought they were having a sporting event or a carnival." And so he saw me sitting under the tent, and he stopped. He said, "I moved from San Jose to Kansas to get away from drugs and peer pressure." He said, "But I found out that the problem that was in San Jose was not drugs, was not my friends. It was the guy that moved to Wichita with me. The problem was me. How do I get away from me?" I let him talk for a solid hour. And after an hour, I said, "You know what? We can take care of this. You can do it later, or we can do it now." And I told him how to do it. And he breathed real deep. He said, "You know what? I don't know why I need to wait. I'm going to do it right now." And he prayed right there and got saved at 7:20 on a Sunday morning under the tent. One lady came by on her way to McDonald's to work. She'd got a job. She's trying to break free from a terrible lifestyle. She was in her second or third day of work, and Brother Jimmy Radcliffe was under the tent, and she talked to him, and she got saved and came to revival and is still going to a local church there. One night, they had come in the afternoon and talked to some of the people there watching over the tent, and a man and his wife and his two or three teenage children all came to seek salvation under the altar at one time. And that happened over and over and over. I heard just a couple of weeks ago, one of the men there, he actually helped us with the music. He was a deacon at one of the churches. He's not much older than I am, had prematurely had to retire due to a disability. He was down in his back. He got prayed for one night, and he called me up the other day. He said, "You're never going to believe where I am." I said, "Well, try me and I'll do my best." He said, "I'm so healed that I went to my doctor and gave up my disability, and I'm calling you from work, praise God." That's a miracle. And we watch that happen over and over and over. And I want to see God duplicate that for your family and for your family and for people that we don't even know right here in Dayton, Ohio. And I believe that God will do it. I believe God will draw people to Himself because that's what He wants to do. He wants to save people right here. I'm anxious to see miracles like that repeated somewhere here in Dayton, Ohio. You know, the goal of the church should be, must be, to get folks saved and healed. That's the goal, right? Well, how in the world do we do that in this dark and sinful society that we live in? In this wicked generation, how do we get people saved? How do we get their attention? I know we can't do it on our own, right? We know we can't do it on our own. If we ever get folks saved, if we ever get folks delivered, if we ever get folks healed, we must get them to Jesus. We must get them into the presence of Christ. Whatever it takes, whatever it costs, whatever the situation calls for, we must get people and their needs to Jesus. Even if we must, as they did in our text, carry them to Jesus. We've got to do whatever it takes. This is what they did for him. They realized his only help was in Christ. He could not get to Jesus on his own, so they picked him up and carried the palsied man to Jesus. You know, carrying men and women to Jesus is never, has never, and will never be easy, but it must be done. I want to be a part of getting somebody to Jesus. Never has been a one-man job. One man cannot do all the heavy lifting. Requires somebody on all four corners of the couch. Who is carrying the couch? The man in our text was sick of the palsy. The best I can understand, Brother Benny, simply means he was paralyzed. He was paralyzed. Luke, the physician, in his gospel said he was taken with a palsy. That says to me it's something that came on him. He wasn't born with this. He was taken with a palsy. Life dealt him a blow, an injury, a disease, an accident, a fever. Some terrible twist of life struck him down, and he was taken with the palsy. A healthy man becomes paralyzed. He could not get to Jesus on his own. He could not help himself. He could not get up and go there. He needed somebody to carry him. He may have heard about revival, but he couldn't go. He needed somebody to do the go for him. He needed somebody to carry him. I want to tell you, first of all, tonight, there is a couch to be carried today. We are dealing in our world with a bunch of paralyzed people. For the most part, they're still up walking around. They've got their legs, they've got their arms, they've got their physical faculties, but inwardly they are palsied. They are paralyzed. Their mind is affected. Their heart is bound. Their soul is captive. Somehow they've been wounded. Somehow they've been bruised. Maybe they've been mistreated. Life has left them paralyzed. There's people right here in this town that have been paralyzed by the sins of others. People right here on our street, right here in our neighborhood, people around your church, Brother McGuire, people over in East Dayton around Brother Thomas's church, people in North Dayton around Brother Lloyd's church, people up on Valley Street next to Brother Mitch's church, all over this town, right here, they're paralyzed by emotions. They're paralyzed by fear. They're paralyzed by the actions of others, and they cannot overcome it on their own. They cannot move beyond it. They would if they could, but they are paralyzed. There's thousands of others that are paralyzed by their own sins, their own past, the hurt they have caused, the pain they have inflicted. They have enjoyed sin, but the pleasure that seemed to bring such liberty has left them in bondage, and they are frozen in place. They would change if they could. They would shake free if they could. Oh, to describe some of those drug addicts and alcoholics, they would be free if they could get free. They would come to church if they could. And if they came, they would come to the altar if they could. But they seem like they cannot do it. They want to get better. They try to shake off the pain. They try to rise above the heartache. They try to live without sin. They dream about liberty. They talk about freedom. They remember better days. They might even remember gospel messages they've heard. But they cannot do it on their own. They need somebody to go grab a hold of them and help them. There is a couch that needs to be carried today. We want them to get help, don't we? Y'all with me here tonight? I said we want them to get help. We know they can't help themselves in some cases, but we want folks right here in this city to meet Jesus. We want drug addicts to be set at liberty. We want alcoholics to be free from alcohol. We want families to be put back together. We want those that's minds are defiled and perverted to be clean and to be healthy. We want broken men to be healed. We want broken women to be restored. We want hearts to be mended. We want lives to be changed. We want minds to be renewed. We want bodies to be healed. We want thieves to quit stealing. Amen. We want gamblers to quit gambling. We want fighters to live in peace. We want liars to love the truth. We want misers to give, haters to love, and the dead to live again. We want to see revival in our city. We want the corrupt to be cleansed, perverted to be purified, and the wicked to be washed. We want the blind to see. We want the dumb to talk. We want the deaf to hear. We want the lame to walk. We want your children saved. We want my relatives saved. We want people on the street saved. We want our neighbors delivered. But for any of that to happen, somebody must help them get to Jesus. You say, well, there's a church. They could come to Jesus. But for whatever reason, they've never made it. But God has given me the burden to take people out and bring them back in. Praise God. To get you to help me bring people in. There is a couch to be carried. Who's going to carry it? Well, let's let Brother Benny carry. Let the pastor carry the couch. Let Brother Lee, he's here to help. Let him carry the couch. What about Brother Andrew? He's young and strong. Let him carry the couch. And the pastor is a good couch carrier. But he cannot do it on his own. He can pray. He can visit the sick. He can counsel the confused. He can pray for the weary. He can preach the word. Wasn't he preaching to us a little while ago? He can pour in the oil and the wine. He can put ointment on the wound. He can pray and fast. He can study the word of God. He can hear from God and then stand up here and give it to us without fear or favor in no uncertain terms. The pastor's role is vital. The pastor's role is essential. And we cannot get the job done correctly without the pastor. We've got to have the pastor on board, and he is. But the pastor is only able to carry one corner at a time. I submit to you tonight that the people must be willing to carry their corner. The people, the saints of God, must be willing to pick up their share of the load. All four corners must be covered. If someone is not doing their part, then the paralyzed man is dumped in the street. Then he is worse off than he was before he started. Everyone must grab a corner. If we're ever going to get the palsy to Jesus, we must work together. Are y'all with me here tonight? I said we must work together. We need people to help carry the couch through prayer. Prayer is absolutely essential. You say, Brother Davey, I can't knock on doors. I can't pass out flyers. I can't even go out and meet people and invite them to church. But you can pray. We need people that'll carry their corner in prayer. The thing that we're doing is spiritual. Winning souls is spiritual work. And spiritual work cannot be done purely by physical means. How many believe that? Spiritual work cannot be pushed through purely by physical means. In fact, Paul said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We need some prayer warriors. That's why I've been asking for the last year, everywhere I go, would anybody volunteer to pray for City Reach? Would anybody volunteer to pray that I would be in the right place at the right time, saying the right word to the right people? I need people that will say, I'm going to get a hold of God for souls in Dayton, Ohio. Praying people hold up their corner of the couch. In fact, I commit to you that I will work as if all the success depends upon my work. All right? I will work as if all the success depends on my work, but I will also acknowledge that we must pray like all the success depends on God. You agree with that? All the success depends on God. We need people to hold up the couch through prayer. We need people to hold up the couch through personal effort. We must have Christians willing to give of themselves. It takes people willing to give of themselves to carry the couch. People willing to give of their time, their talent, their treasure. You know what we did in Wichita with that revival, what God did in that Wichita in revival, and I've had a couple of the pastors tell me, you just brought 30 or 40 people into my church that need my undivided attention. That's more than some churches want. Y'all with me here? You get a homeless person saved, you can't just say, God bless you. You get a drug addict saved, we know that. They've been saved right here at this altar. You can't hardly just say, well, try to do better. No. They take time. They take your family time. They take talent. They take treasure. To carry somebody to Jesus takes personal effort. I wonder if we're willing to give our personal effort. Are we willing to carry our corner when it comes to doing our part? Folks in this city need Christ, and it will cost us something. It'll cost us time. It'll cost us effort. It'll cost us energy. It'll cost us elbow grease. It'll cost us sweat. It'll cost us tears. And it will likely cost us some money. But I say it's worth it. I say it is worth it. We spend our money, we spend our time on things that have no eternal significance at all, oftentimes. And we spend time and money on things that make us happy. And there's nothing inherently wrong with spending money or time or effort on things that bring pleasure to us or to our family. But if we're going to do that, shouldn't we be willing to spend a portion of our money and our time and our energy to bring eternal life to a lost soul, banned, bound, and damned for hell? Wouldn't that be worth it? I said, wouldn't that be worth it to spend a little bit of our time to save somebody? I say it is worth it. When men and women, lost men and women, walk under that tent and they give their hearts to God and they come to one of our churches and their families get saved and they bring families in, and 10 years later we look back and we can't even recognize the bum that got saved because of the grace. Oh, y'all with me here? Because the grace of God. I say it's worth it. It's worth every hour of prayer. It's worth every personal effort. It's worth every drop of sweat. It's worth every moment of labor. It's worth every dollar spent. Listen, I'm not asking you to do something that I'm not willing to do ourselves, our family. I have given the very best years of my life to this effort, and I will continue to do so as long as I'm able by God's grace. We have spent nearly every dollar we can get a hold of to scatter the gospel message to as many lives as we can, and I would do it all over again because every soul is worth it. I said every soul is worth it.
when that young man, him and his wife, were homeless. They lived in the park behind where we had revival in Wichita. They came 6 of the 8 nights. We had a couple of nights of rain and bad weather. Although we were able to have church, somebody put them in a motel and they did not come to church those 2 nights. But 6 of the 8 nights, he was in the altar every night. And the last 2 nights, he just hugged me as tight as he could. And he said, "Brother Davey, you have changed my life." I knew that wasn't true. And I told him it wasn't true. It was God that did it. But I want to tell you, the thousands of dollars that it took to have City Reach and all the effort and the 5,000 color flyers that they passed out in that city and all the people that worked, every bit of it was worth it for that young man who's been a drug addict since he was 12 years old and now he's 28 to say, "God has saved my soul and he used you to do it." And like Brother Benny said, we all know God used you and thousands of others to do it. I say it's worth it, Brother Bruce. I say it's worth it when they get saved. Absolutely worth it. For most of our adult lives, y'all know us. You know us better than anybody in the country. Most of our adult lives, I've invested our strength, our passion, and our money into spreading the gospel. I don't want your pity. I love doing what I'm doing. And if I wasn't doing what I was doing, I'd have to go get a real job. I might not have to work as hard, but it sure wouldn't be as fun. But I have drugged my wife and my daughter all over this world. And they've went willingly because we believe it's worth it. Y'all with me here? We believe it's worth it. I believe souls right here in Dayton are worth it. I can feel the Holy Ghost right now wanting to reach to them. I'm telling you, we're not asking you to do anything we're not doing ourselves. We would normally, and I say this thankful to God, normally at this point in the year, we would have 40 or 45 revivals scheduled next year, 30 or 40 revivals scheduled the next year. I have 7 revivals in churches scheduled next year. I will devote the rest of the year to the best of my ability to these City Reach campaigns. 7 revivals. If this don't work out, somebody, I'm going to need a job, okay? Why are you doing that, Brother Davey? Don't you have places to preach? I have places to go. But I've asked those people to give me grace and give me mercy to do what I feel like doing. And that's to go to some of these cities and reach for God. He might reach people for himself. I believe in it. I believe it's worth it. I believe it's worth it. And I know that you believe it's worth it. Thank God for churches in this area. Thank God for pastors. We have got the best pastor in the world, and we all know that. I mean, you know, Brother Bruce, even you would admit that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we've got some great pastors in this area. We've got better fellowship than we've had in years. We've got some good men. We've got great singers in this church and these other churches. We've got a host of great, godly, good, living people. We have some beautiful buildings that we have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on in this valley and just our handful of churches through the years, trying to keep them nice so people will come in and say, "Man, this is a nice place. I'm comfortable here and I'm going to sit down and hear the gospel." We've done all these things for people to get saved and to worship and to be blessed and to be discipled, and we are reaching our fair share of them, and we thank God for that. But as I said, there are a certain number of people that have made up their minds for whatever reason, "I'm not going to church. I'm never going into that church." They don't know you. They don't have anything personally against you or Brother Benny or me, but they're just not going to church. And I feel like God will use us to go get them and bring them in. If they refuse to come to us, I say, let's take the gospel to them. I told you, I think it's worth it, and God's people have joined us in that. We will bring a tent. We're going to do this in July, good Lord willing. We will bring a tent to Dayton that'll seat 500 people, paid for by God's people because they think the people in Dayton are worth it. We'll set up chairs and sound equipment that we carry with us, paid for by people that have invested in our ministry because they think people in Dayton, Ohio are worth it. When I first bought my first set of chairs, there was a young lady going down to Dodge Church. She prayed one day when I was there. She sent $50. She sent a check for $50. A young 13 or 14 year old girl. She said, I want to buy 5 chairs for people to sit in and get saved. I wish I could tell her. I don't know how many, maybe dozens of people have sat in those 5 chairs and got saved because she cared. We will use diesel and trailers and equipment and tools paid for by God's people because they think people in Dayton, Ohio are worth it. In fact, when we pull in here, there will be $70,000 to $80,000 of equipment that we have accumulated through what we have given and people have given through us because we think that the people in Dayton, Ohio are worth it. Y'all got me here? You really think so, Brother Davey? Yeah. I think that guy whose family is broken up is worth it. I think that girl that just could not live right and now is on the streets is worth it. I think they are. And I know that you do as well. Paralyzed people right here. It takes the pastor to carry them. It takes the people to carry them. And it takes some perseverance. I want to close by telling you this. It's not going to be easy. We got to make up our mind we're going to do it. Because when we get in the midst of that revival, I'm just going to tell you. And I know the devil's not everywhere at every time. Brother Benny, he really put the air out of me in 1990. I was trying to preach, and that's his job. Thank God he did. I was trying to get out of here to go preach a revival in my car. Of course, it was an old car that I paid $900 for. And I was trying to evangelize in that old Plymouth Reliant station wagon, and I told Brother Benny, the devil's trying to keep me from getting to Texas. I can't get my car running. And Brother Benny said, you reckon the devil's that scared of you, Davey? I told you I needed it. The devil's not everywhere. Y'all with me? Everything I think the devil is not the devil. But I promise you, if we do this, he's going to show up. He's going to be out there. When we take church out there, he hates it. He will hinder it every way he can. They'll throw eggs at the tent. Don't get any ideas, young men. Praise God. They'll do everything they can to hinder it. Sometimes they'll go by and they'll beep their horn while I'm preaching. I always thank them for the amens. Praise God. If I'm not getting any amens, I'll take a horn blowing. They'll do everything they can. The spiritual side of it will be much worse than the natural side of it. The devil will fight, and we will have to put our minds into gear and our shoulders to the wheel and say, we're going to have revival in spite of the devil. We will have to persevere. We will have to say we're going to have revival in spite of what anybody says, and God will give us revival. I believe that. We have pastors that believe in it. Do we have any deacons that believe in it? Do we have any Sunday school teachers that are committed to revival? Do we have any singers that's committed to revival? I'm starting to get scared here. My amens have stopped up. I need a horn blower or something. So I got a piano player that's committed to it. Praise God. I got a bass player that's committed to it. Where you at? Yeah. I got a bass player. I got a guitar player. I got a drummer. Give me a drummer. I got a drummer that's committed. Praise God. How about it? I got any singers that's committed to revival? Do I have any saints that's committed to revival? Does anybody believe that God can give us revival? Brother Davey, right now, this is your dream, and we're just going to, you know, humor you. Thank you for that. But at some point between now and July, I need you to catch the burden. And that's what I'm trying to do now, is to share my burden so that you will get underneath of it and say, it can be done. I stood in the First Church of God in Christ in Wichita, Kansas, last December, on the 8th, 9th, or 10th of December, and preached not this message, but along these lines. Trying to stir up support for revival, a church I'd never preached in before. Those people got behind revival. And when September came, they were still behind revival. And those people and the other churches made the difference in revival. It was not my preaching. It was not our singing. It was people praying and pushing and hoping and planning on revival. And God sent it, and God will do it right here in Dayton, Ohio. Hallelujah. I believe that. I believe that God will do it. I believe if we work together, God will give us revival. I told you it's going to take some perseverance, because there's not going to be any room at the door. The devil's going to fight every way he can, just like they did with this man. The crowd is too great. There's no way to get in. And reality says, give up. But perseverance says, come on, we can do it. Reality says, the opposition is too large. The devil is too strong. Dayton is too far gone. This city is out of reach. We gave it a good try. We'll do it again some other time. But perseverance says we cannot leave him paralyzed. We cannot take him home. We've got to get him into the presence of Christ. Reality says no way. But perseverance says, what about the roof? Reality says, are you joking? And perseverance says, no, that's the only way. And so four men grab him by the corner of the couch and take him up on the roof and let him down. That's nuts. That's crazy. But they let him down into the presence of Christ. And Jesus, seeing their faith, that's what he said. He saw their faith, said, sons, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then a few moments later, he said, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. It was a team effort that got it done. But he left saved and healed. I said he left saved and healed. This man's triumph was in their teamwork. His destiny was dependent upon their determination. His forgiveness was in their faith. His salvation was in their struggle. His healing was in their help. They carried the couch and he got the benefit. Praise God. I said they carried the couch and he got the benefit. I wonder how many is going to get saved because of your effort. Right here in Dayton, Ohio. Praise God. Anybody believe God can do it? If you do, stand up. Signify it by standing up. You believe God can do it? Stand to your feet. Praise God. You believe God can do it? Why don't you come to the front and tell God, I believe you can do it, Lord. I'm coming, God, to commit myself to pray. I'm coming, Lord, to bring somebody to Jesus in this revival. I'm coming to be a part of revival. This altar's open. Would you come? Would you come with commitment of heart? Would you come with purpose of heart? I'm going to be a part of revival. I'm going to see that revival goes forward. I want to see drug addicts saved. I want to see perverted cleansed. I want to see alcoholics set free. I want to see the defiled delivered. I want to see revival break out in Dayton, Ohio. In the name of Jesus. Come on, young people. Come on, make a commitment to revival. Come on, moms and dads. Make a commitment to revival. How about it? Grandma and grandpa, make a commitment to revival. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God, I believe it. Oh, yes.
When somebody needs you, God, I believe it. Help them through me. Let me be your hand extended to someone in need.
Praise God.
Lord, somebody needs you. Want to help them through me.
Oh, yeah.
Let me be your hand extended to someone in need. Lord, somebody needs you. Want to help them through me. Let me be your hand extended to someone in need. Lord, somebody needs you.
Somebody
needs you. Help them through me.
Oh,
let
yeah.
me be your hand extended to
someone in need.
Yeah.
somebody needs you. Help them through the year.
I believe, I believe.
Be your hand extended. Oh, yeah. Someone in need. Oh, Lord, somebody needs you. Help them through me. Let me be your hand extended. Someone in need. There's nothing I've done to earn these blessings that you give. So help me like you to be unselfish so that others may live. I don't want to get so wrapped up in my world that I can't see that I was broken and so lonely until someone helped me. Oh, Lord, somebody need you. Help them through me. Let me be your hand extended to someone in need. Lord, somebody need you. Help them through me.
Praise God.
Be your hand extended to someone in need. Yes, Lord, somebody need you. Help them through me. Let me be your hand extended to someone in need. Oh, they're my brothers, and I just can't let them down. They're the lost and dying, whose souls must be found. Oh, they're gonna be found. Lord, somebody need you. Help them through me. Let me be your hand extended to someone in need. Yeah, Lord, somebody need you. Help them through me. Let me be your hand extended to someone in need. Oh, Lord, somebody need you. Help them through me. Let me be your hand extended to someone in need. Help them through me. Let me be your hand extended to someone in need. Yeah, Lord, somebody need you. Help them through me. Let me be your hand extended to someone in need. Lord, somebody need you. Help them through me. Let me be your hand extended to someone in need. Lord, somebody need you. Help them through me. Let me be your head.